Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I mean, I think we're pretty resilient. I think we've got a bunch of guys that can help us on any given night. I think that's something. You know, guys being able to chase the football on defense, and offensively, guys trying to finish longer than the guy with the ball, trying to make some plays downfield and spring some guys. So, you know, sometimes we don't always make the right decision. I hope we continue to work on that and focus on that, especially in the heat of the moment. But, you know, again, we just felt like we competed for four quarters.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick 50 Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Patriots' identity earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. It is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. We will talk to Drake May the next hour or so about his comeback performance, maybe getting back into the MVP race, maybe kind of stiff-arming Josh Allen out of it and trying to close the gap on Matthew Stafford. So we'll talk to Drake in the next hour or so. Fitzy, though, I want to ask you this identity thing. So We are now 2 weeks to go in the season. You've clinched a playoff berth, so we know you'll be playing meaningful football in January, and usually you're expecting, okay, I want to lean on what I'm good at, lean on my identity, cover up whatever I'm not good at. And Mike Vrabel brought up 60 minutes of football in his answer about identity. I don't think I can credit them with that being part of their identity yet just off of one game.
No, but you do have 15 games as a body of work to forge an identity or to describe the team as you see fit. I mean, if I had to pick one word to describe this team, everyone's going to grasp at like resilient or gritty. I think I'm going to go with opportunistic.
Okay. I don't hate the opportunistic word, but my point with the 60 minutes of football is We just bitched about it all last week that they haven't played 60 minutes of football. That's not who they are. They failed against the Bills. They were failing against all these other teams. They couldn't put teams away.
Well, they played 60 minutes, but like, let's be honest, they brought 45 to 50 good minutes of football to each of these games. Never a consistent 60.
Even Drake May alluded to the fact that, you know, we kind of built a lot of leads, and kind of the way games went this year, we were able to kind of cruise to victories. This was a comeback opportunity, and I'm glad we took it. But, you know, this is a one-off for right now, which is why if they want to have that identity, and I do believe identities can be forged late in the year. I think we've seen it with many past editions of Patriots teams. If they want to forge that 60-minute resilient energy, one of these two games, you need to go out and blow out one of these teams. Just play wire-to-wire four quarters of good football, not like, oh, I'm up 24-3, so I'm just going to cruise now and win the game 27-17 or something like that.
The biggest blowout of the year, the Carolina game, 29
yes.
points?
Yes, that saw Bryce Young, who's now a reborn quarterback, benched.
Who's now a playoff quarterback.
Yep, benched. You played well enough to bench him. So you need to do that again, in my opinion, to really secure or try to secure a 60-minute four-quarter identity. If I were to start listing things that I think are the identity of this football team, I mean, it starts with the deep passing game, right? And this fits your word, opportunistic. They are opportunistic in the passing game. They're going to take what is available more often than not. Sometimes it's the dink and the dunk. That is becoming more a part of the offense, I felt like yesterday. But more often than not, they're going to make some plays down the field. That's the deep passing game, and people might say that's not sustainable, but I feel like we're deep enough into the season to say that is sustainable. Virtually every week, Drake May is going to hit a couple deep balls in a game.
Yeah, and more often than not, one out of every two or three of those deep passes is going to be for six. So that is part of the game. That's part of the repertoire. I do wish sometimes, though, like in the first half last night, I think there were a few occasions where he could have taken the profit. He could have checked down a little easier as opposed to looking downfield. Obviously, that got him in trouble with the early pick as well. A little more focus on that taking the profit, the dink and the dunk early on, I think may even open up the deep pass a little bit later on for him even better. But it's obviously hard to argue with the grand sum total of the results.
Yeah, and I do think he has acknowledged over the years sometimes living to fight another play or taking the dink and the dunk does go against some of his natural playmaker, gunslinger tendencies. And I also would think it's hard for us. So we praise him all year long. Jason McCourty, others, Dan Orlovsky, greatest deep ball I've ever seen. He completes deep balls like I've never seen. Well, when that noise is out there, isn't that going to make the guy who's at the helm think, well, if I'm the best that they've ever seen at it, why don't I keep doing it? Why would I do 10 passes for 5 yards when I can do one pass for 50 yards and I do it better than anybody else?
Seems like so much more work.
Right. Like, let's just get the hell out of here and have some fun. So I think some of the success is also part of what leads him to believe he can continue to throw deep balls. But I thought yesterday, the end of the first half, which unfortunately led to a fumble, they were dinking and dunking and they were doing a 2-minute drive down the field that was probably, I think they were at like the 35-yard line, was probably going to lead to three points.
Yeah.
And then later in the game, I thought there was some dink and dunk, which led to, it was like dink, dunk, crosser, deep ball. Right. And like, and I think there can be that evolution of this offense. So that's something. We wanted the identity of this football team to be run defense, right? Make the opponent one dimensional. We're going to take away your run. And it felt like, how long did we get to? Like 8-10 weeks into the season? We were like, yeah, the run defense is awesome.
I think it was nine, maybe nine. And then in the starting round, week 10 or week 11, that's when things changed. And again, last night, another over 100-yard rusher in the form of Derrick Henry. Yes, it is Derrick Henry, but you're giving up over 130 yards a game rushing.
Yeah, so I don't think we can pencil in run defense, and a lot of people, and some of these identity issues are going to change significantly. We had a lot of people texting in like the run defense will be fine when Milton Williams gets back out there, and Milton Williams could get back out there as early as this week. Mike Vrabel said that this morning. In case people aren't paying attention, Milton Williams is eligible to begin practicing and playing as soon as this week. You are not there yet with Will Campbell. Will Campbell has to miss another week as he continues to recover from that knee injury and chug beers at the Garden.
Yeah, recover.
Yeah, Stiz, you want to get into that real quick?
Well, I was going to say he looks recovered. But also, I had a bone to pick with you because I was listening to the Six Rings postgame show last night, as I do after every Patriots game.
Who doesn't?
Exactly.
Company man.
And you on there
oh, you know, I don't know how I feel about Will Campbell chugging beers and taking his shirt off at a Celtics game. And I Nick, I texted Andy and I said, oh, wow, you don't like fun? You don't like water slides? Like, you're such a fun sponge. Like, go away, boomer. Such a boomer take.
So what I explained to him, yeah, Fitzy,
he should be in a therapeutic tank somewhere getting...
What I explained to him was that I love the aura of the fat offensive lineman at either a hockey game or a basketball game, whoa, taking his shirt off and drinking. Love that. Love it. I'm not sure I love it with the guy who's on IR and last we saw him was being carted off the field with a towel over his head crying because we thought his career or at least his season was over.
What was the injury?
The knee.
What part of your knee is used in chugging a beer, Fitzy?
It's the part where you get up and stand up like a man who's almost back on the football field and ready to rock with his teammates.
And then stumble down the stairs and flip up. What is Stiz doing in there?
Oh, for the love of God.
Good Lord, Stiz has his shirt off. Please put that back on. There's children watching on Twitch. We can't have that. I'm going to fire our strength coach like Mike Vrabel said he was going to fire his.
Wait, we have a strength coach?
Yeah, we need one. He has a gym.
And this is, this is the result.
So, yeah, no, it wasn't. I wasn't being critical
of the
act necessarily, Stiz.
Yes, sure.
I was being critical of, I don't know that it's the best look when you're on IR. I think it's a little bit of a weird look. But if you want to call me the fun police because of that, I'm fine with it. It was just my reaction. My initial reaction was love it. Love the young offensive lineman being that guy because I think that's who he's going to be for the next 10 years. And then I was like, wait, aren't you on IR? Aren't you, like, recovering from what looked like at the time a major injury?
Well, and, shouldn't you be excited that it looks like he's recovering at such a rapid rate? He feels comfortable enough to jump up, to vault up out of his chair,
sure,
and grab a beer, pound it, thump his chest. You're a chest thumper. I thought you would have felt a kindred spirit was alive at the Garden.
Yes, dear ball.
Just a kind of a football nuts and bolts question. I saw him on the sideline. He had one of those earpieces in, like,
yep,
like a scratch quarterback. Is that normal for an offensive lineman?
No.
Okay.
It's not even normal generally for injured players to travel. Over the years, that's been left for notable players. Like Kevin Falk was a guy that got hurt and then still traveled with the team, and it was seen as sort of a leadership mentor type. So I actually think that's an interesting good thing that Will Campbell is in that world as your number one pick, starting left tackle, traveling with the team. I also laughed at the point in which Munford got hurt and Moses was already hurt. They did a close-up of Will Campbell, and he almost had a look on his face like, guys, you give me pads, I'll go in. If you find a way, I'll go out there. Remember the story we heard about his high school football game where he wasn't supposed to play and he didn't play the first half and then they were going to lose the game? So he had his, like, he went and found his pads and put his pads on and led them injured to the victory in the second half or whatever. I thought he wanted to do that last night. But yes, Dan Ball, I think that is a sign of how significant a part of the future and the foundation Will Campbell is. Like, he's out there like he's a quarterback, hearing every play, hearing every, you know, adjustment, whatever it may be. So I thought that was a very good sign. Now, I'm also with his head coach. If you're going to take your shirt off on, like, a big screen, maybe, like, get a little more jacked. Maybe I'm not shaming him at all, but the dude is a left tackle in the National Football League.
So it doesn't have to, but that's exactly it. He's a left tackle. How many, like, save for, like, Tony Mandarich to go back in the Wayback Machine, if you know, you know, have you ever seen that look like bodybuilders or that are shredded? Like,
there's not a lot.
He's supposed to look like a hog or a hoss. Like, he took his shirt off. That's exactly what I thought Will Campbell would look like.
Well, Mike Vrabel didn't think he was going to look like that. It didn't sound like he cared for it. The thing that hit my head is that guy goes head to head with Myles Garrett and Danielle Hunter on every play when they play games. And, like, that guy looks like a doughy young white farm boy with, you know, likes his cookies. And Myles Garrett looks like a paid assassin.
Yeah, but he's going to fight and die to protect his quarterback, as he said during the draft.
I will. I'll fight and die for him.
If you're a little stronger, you might not have to die. You could fight and win. And the other guy could die if you were a little bit stronger in this battle with those elite guys. So let's go to that offensive line. We're talking about identity. A lot of teams, it feels like their offensive line comes from their identity, right? They're either great pass protectors and they allow a guy like Drake May to be this gunslinger and this passer, or they're run stuffers, right? Like the Eagles have had one of the better offensive lines, and it has led to this whole thing with the tush push and established Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. What do we think this offensive line is going to be in the postseason with Will Campbell back? Let's just say Will Campbell plays, and let's just say Morgan Moses recovers, Fitzy. What's this offensive line going to be when it hits the matchup, I don't know, with the Texans or the Broncos or one of these other defenses that could be facing it?
It's going to be just good enough.
I feel the confidence just oozing.
Well, I mean, when do you ever expect it to become elite? I mean, it'll certainly be great that Will Campbell will have a little less tread worn off the tires and that he should be rested, ready, and refreshed, as healthy as he could possibly be, given that he went through three quarters of an NFL season. But, you know, any offensive line, especially one that's a little piecemeal like the Patriots, is going to have their hands full dealing with the Texans. By the way, Texans also had their hands full yesterday with this just tells you any given week, anybody can beat anybody in this shaken up snow globe of a season. Like, the Raiders almost beat the Texans yesterday, for God's sakes.
The Raiders beat you.
See?
You took that as a, okay, yes, Dan Ball?
I think the offensive line in the playoffs is going to be made to look better because of their quarterback. And because of
their coordinator, Dan Ball.
Specifically because of their quarterback in Drake May, because it was on to, and Chris Collinsworth did a lot on this during the broadcast yesterday, but he's gotten so much better at sensing pressure, stepping up in the pocket, moving the pocket, and kind of reacting to what his offensive line is giving him this year than mm-hmm. last year. So as much as I think just personnel-wise, in a vacuum, it's going to be average and you're going to have your challenges, it seems like Drake right now is at the point where he's making the best out of whatever offensive line arrangement he's being given.
Agreed. Now just take care of the football, because the interception was one of those plays. He stepped up and then to the right out of double pressure. There were two guys that should have had him dead to rights. He steps up, rolls right, and throws an interception. Like, it was a great play to avoid the sack. He just didn't turn it into a great play because then he made a poor throw to Booty by the pylon.
Well, that's the issue with a second-year quarterback, is that every now and again he's going to play like a second-year quarterback. And even Josh Allen, who's playing, you know, who's in his, whatever it is, eighth, ninth, tenth year, still plays like a gunslinger and a guy who makes mistakes when he plays that kind of style. I feel like that's still just, those mistakes, Fitzy, are still just kind of baked into the pie at this point.
Yeah, that throw was not a total arm punt either, because it wasn't like they were out of range and he put them down deep inside their own red zone. Like, they were angling for three when he threw that pick, so that did cost you points at the time, which seemed extremely actually would have been valuable any time of the day as well. And that fumble also was not necessarily in the right part of the field either.
Well, the fumble was also an example of, I thought his feet were good. He did a good job with his feet to avoid the pressure. Just, you can't hold the ball out so that they can just slap it out of your hands. The ball had to be pulled away from the defender there or tucked in, but his footwork was good. And that's where I get back to, all of these are experiences. All of these are things that will help him, and I'm with Dan Ball. I do think, in general, he helps out his offensive line. I know he likes to paint some of the, I got to stop taking those one-yard sacks that make the boys look bad in the stat column and different things like that. But I do think, in general, most runaway rushers, he gives himself a fighting chance. He gives the offense a fighting chance. There's been a couple one-offs here or there where he hasn't. What about the running game, if we're going to talk about an identity? It felt like we were trending toward, you know, Ramondre's back healthy. We've had the breakout with Travion Henderson. Oh, my God, he's the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then he gets dinged up yesterday, and then Ramondre doesn't carry the ball much, and that comes off the heels of last week against the Bills, where they kind of put the ground game away and didn't run. Like, is this team going to be a team that is a balanced offense heading into the postseason, or are they going to be pass heavy, pass first?
They're going to, I hate to tell you, but they're going to be exactly what they need to be. You know that about Josh McDaniels. I mean, in a perfect world, they would be balanced out, you know, just to everything in perfect balance, just as it should be. And, you know, with two runs and a pass and two pass and a run, all the way down the field. But they'll take exactly what the defense gives them as well. Last night, they didn't do much running until later in the game, and then it was highly effective when they brought Ramondre in and they dropped the hammer on him. I'm sure they wanted to run the ball more with Travion, which is what I think kind of threw their offensive game playing for a loop for a little while, because they were going to lean into him, and then some of us thought it was a knee or a back. Turns out it was a head injury. Hopefully it's nothing too serious or too long-term, and maybe he just misses this game this Sunday. That would be cool by me, but I can't ever see this Patriots team being anything more than balanced out, with a slight lean towards the Drake, just because of weapon number one, which we talked about earlier in the show, the deep ball.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a pass-first team, because I think that's their strength, Drake May. That said, it wouldn't stun me if they rush for 250 yards in a playoff win. I think they have that ability when you talk about the big plays, and you talked about Ramondre Stevenson looking a little bit more spry and explosive. Maybe that toe is finally getting healthy and he's feeling more like himself.
He had that running I'd seen all season.
He had that one cutback on the right sideline where I think it was a swing pass. I don't think it was a run, but he made a guy look silly and then got another 15 yards down the field. I do think he's looking closer to the guy we thought he was. We've thought he's been in recent years, which is kind of that poor man Saquon Barkley. He can make people miss. He can hit an occasional 15 or 20 yard play. And then we know what Travion Henderson is, assuming he's healthy. So it would, and you get Will Campbell back. You put those things all together, it wouldn't stun me. We've seen Josh do it before. You don't have James Devlin. You don't have a fullback. You got Westover, who his butt caused a fumble with Drake May. That's the most notable play he had last night. But it wouldn't stun me if Josh McDaniels says, we're going to run the football, and you have a game where he thinks the matchup is just, I don't know, keep Trevor Lawrence on the sideline. Oh, Trevor Lawrence is hot. He's got 10 touchdowns in two games. I'll show you how to stop Trevor Lawrence. We'll just stay on the field the whole game.
Yeah, if you play the Bills or you play the Steelers or you play the Chargers, you're going to want to run the ball because they have much better pass defenses. So you're going to have to establish it. And if you don't, you become one-dimensional. Now you're putting your offense and especially your second-year quarterback in a tough position in the postseason.
617-779-7937. Coming up next, we will break down the injuries from last night's game. You heard Mike Vrabel talk about it post-game. No, they didn't lose an MVP, but they lost a lot of guys. A lot of guys were stepping up. A lot of guys were playing out of position. They dealt with it last night. How will they have to deal with it moving forward and maybe even heading to the postseason, or will they get the reserves back? Will the guys be coming off IR? Will you get Milton Williams and Will Campbell? We'll talk about the injury situation up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And remember, in the next hour or so, we'll be talking to the quarterback, Drake May, the MVP candidate, coming off his first comeback win in the National Football League. That's all up next, but first, Dan Ball has what...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
It's trending.
what else was new? Just seeing, you know, guys left and right and new faces in the huddle. I'm not sure how many different people we had in the huddle out of 11. Probably had like 100 combinations. So I wasn't even blinking an eye with whoever came in the huddle. Those guys are, you know, practice hard, and I believe in them and trust and freaking put the ball on the fullback's hip and fumbled it. I mean, there's just things in this game that make me want to punch a wall. So it's just glad we got
to
win.
Things in that game that freaking had Drake May wanting to punch a wall, Dan Ball.
Punching a wall, may or may not.
Hopefully he's smart enough to use his non-throwing hand if he hits a wall, a Gatorade container.
You're a quarterback. You keep someone around to punch walls for you.
Yeah, you could pay somebody. He's on the verge. Have somebody pay. Hey, go punch that thing. I'm
angry.
Hey,
big country, go punch that wall.
No, not him. We need his hands, too. They're little, but we need them. He's got small hands.
Oh, my God.
And they're little.
His doll hands.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. It's starting to feel, Fitzy, like the Patriots are league leaders or among the league leaders in injuries. They have multiple key guys on IR, and last night they had multiple guys get banged up over the course of the game. So the question is, does that have them circling the late season drain in terms of what they can be, what they can do? We already talked about they're not a very deep football team, and now we're talking about all these injuries. Is this a growing concern for you, the health of your New England Patriots?
It should be a concern for everyone, but at the same time, if the health of this team did not get in the way of them finding a way to beat the Ravens when they had guys dropping like flies at all three levels of the defense and on offense as well, then no. I'm now more convinced. It would be shame on me, ye of little Foxborough faith, to not think that Drake and Vrabel and Josh and Zach and company couldn't find a way to put everyone together in the best position possible to get jobs done, at least for the remainder of the regular season. Now, if you lose five more guys and then you go in the playoffs, different story.
So I believe it was seven guys last night. I appreciate Dan Ball putting a second page on the rundown so we could go through all these injuries here. They are piling up. So from yesterday's game, Travion Henderson, head, got tackled, wrapped up, slammed to the turf, definitely head. I'm sure he's in concussion protocol. How far that goes, we'll see. Demario Douglas, hamstring. Morgan Moses, knee, left the game with that knee injury. They were working on it on the sideline, and then when Thayer Munford Jr. got hurt with his knee, Morgan Moses had to say, well, I guess my knee's not as bad as his knee. I'll go back in the game. Kyrus Tonga, who was finally back at fullback. I was excited. He was banging people on that line, moving people, making holes. He has a foot injury. Joshua Farmer, hamstring. He was ruled out rather quickly. Charles Woods, ankle, banged up. We already had the injuries in the back end to Carlton Davis and Marcus Jones. And then you have the longer-term injuries that have been an issue. Milton Williams is on IR. Will Campbell is on IR. Robert Spillane was out of this game. Austin Gibson, Terrell Jennings. A team that wasn't very deep to start the year is definitely, it's funny too, because they had the late bye, and you would think like, oh, they had a late bye. They'll get healthy for the stretch run. Feels like it's been the opposite. Feels like ever since Vrabel accused us of talking about injuries and health on the radio.
I'm glad you guys talked about those injuries. Thanks.
They've been a little snake bitten and injuries piling up. So is it, who's the most important to return? Who is the biggest injury right now for your New England Patriots? And I'll give you a few options just to remind the listener. Travion Henderson, Mr. 50-yard touchdown, Mr. Rookie of the Year. You need him back. How about Milton Williams? Your run defense has looked like Swiss cheese since he got hurt. How about Robert Spillane? He is your leading tackler. How about Will Campbell, the left tackle? And feel free to go off the board and pick somebody else. But which guy do you most need to see back sooner rather than later, Fitzy?
Well, I got Ramondre, so long as he's healthy, to handle Travion's duty, as much as I fell in love with the 50-yard-plus touchdown runs. Wide receiving room, fingers crossed, knock on wood, seems pretty good now. And they're doing an okay job of holding court and holding fort without Will Campbell. So I'm going to go with the same guy that I've wanted all this time. It'd be great to have Spillane back, but I need the Milt man. I got to get Milton Williams back in there. I want to see if the numbers bear the fruit that we think that they will in this defense, especially the run defense, improves as much as we think it will when he's back.
Well, and that's my concern, is I agree with you. I think the answer is Milton Williams. And he may start practicing as soon as tomorrow, come off IR, start practicing, designated to return. Maybe he's back out there against the Jets. You know what my concern with Milton Williams returning is? Everybody is fixated on it. And I just wonder, what happens when you get him back out there, and then let's just say the Jets run the ball for 8 yards, and then run the ball for 4 yards, and then run the ball for 6 yards, and you're like, wait a minute, guys, Milton Williams back out here. We're supposed to go back to only giving up like 48 yards per game. Why are they still getting chunk yards? I just feels like a lot is being put on Milton Williams' very large and very well-paid shoulders.
His shoulders are well compensated. Yep. I think he can handle it. Plus, he will have had the benefit of having been out for the mandatory 4 games plus a bye week. So it'll be almost like close to a month and a half that he'll have been able to heal up that high ankle sprain.
We did have a texter that 603 in New Hampshire says, welcome to the 17-week season that everybody wanted. It's a good point. It's late in the year. We're seeing injuries. I don't know if you can blame quarterback injuries. Some of these ACLs losing quarterbacks for the year, a team like the Chiefs losing multiple quarterbacks. But a team like the Patriots with these injuries, these do feel like kind of late in the year, banged up, not an ACL, not an Achilles tear, but you know, knee for Moses, knee for the more reps that offensive linemen play, the more
wear and tear injuries, right?
And there is probably an argument that the texter is making that is accurate, that this is just the extra long season. You wanted it. You got it. Now you got to figure out how to get through it. So Milton Williams, I do think, is the answer because how do we feel about Vidarian Lowe and the job that Vidarian Lowe has done since Campbell went down?
Perfectly fine. Just it's canned soup. It's a nice. It's a box. It's a box of pancake mix off the shelves. Like, it'll get it done. There's nothing fancy about it. He's done okay. I mean, has he been so bad? Have you seen? Put it this way: have you seen runs get blown up 5 yards in the backfield, and/or have you seen Drake May just get absolutely crushed the way that Mac Jones did a couple times during his days with Vidarian Lowe over there?
Not as much. No. It has not been a train wreck or whatever you'd want to describe it as. He did have that costly penalty last week.
You got to just work with that. I figure he's good for one or two every game, right?
It does feel like it's the cost of doing business with him out there. But I did, like, you should expect to be better with the fourth pick in the draft, joining the offensive line either in the season finale or in the beginning of the playoffs there. That's why you drafted him, right? Like, that's why you think he is such an important part of the future of this team. Travion Henderson, I think, is sneaky a big one. And I don't want to diminish a head injury, but I feel like when we see a guy get a concussion or just like protocol, we just assume, oh, it'll be 1 week, maximum 2 weeks, and he'll be back out there. I worry about that one because I think he was becoming a really key part of this offense.
Like, a massive part of this offense. Like, at least that's why it was so reassuring to see an extra little bit of burst in Ramondre last night. I'll be honest, a couple of games ago when he first came back after the toe injury, he looked like he was laboring.
Absolutely.
He did not have his normal giddy up by any stretch.
There was definitely more of a bounce in his step last night. And because we had talked about the one thing he was bringing was physicality. He was doing that thing on the sidelines where he wouldn't let anybody tackle him, wouldn't let anybody hit him down to the ground. He even got into the – he threw a punch against, you know, was that the Bills? Whatever, on sideline. You know, he was there was an edge to his game, but I'd like the edge to also be he can make a guy miss, he can break an arm tackle and turn 3 yards into 13 or 15 yards. And I thought there was more of that. Actually, I would have liked to have seen him carry the ball more than 8 times last night. And I don't know if they're managing him. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe they don't think he's at full speed and they're trying to work him back to full speed before the playoffs. I don't know. But if you're going to be limited with Henderson, you certainly are going to need to lean on Ramondre because you got to be able to run the football. You've already lost Jennings. You obviously lost Gibson. I don't think D'Ernest Johnson is going to be your lead back in a successful playoff victory. So the Travion Henderson one bears watching. And I do think the Morgan Moses injury is bears watching. You know, I sort of snarkily said all summer.
What was his general? Was that just like age was his injury?
No. Knee. It's the knee. Okay. Now, I don't know if it's the same knee that's bothered him in recent years or if this is a different knee injury, because he did have a knee injury that he dealt with last year. And it's one of those things where I assumed he would miss time this year. He hasn't really missed time. I thought he would look old late in the year and you'd be like, okay, who's ready? Is it Munford? Is it Marcus Bryant? Who's stepping up? And he's actually Munford. Been very... Why do you laugh when I say Munford? That's
the guy's
you.
Name.
Fair like, Munford Jr.
Where did he come from?
He was here in the summer. Then he went to the Colts, I think, practice squad. They brought him back. Now he's their sixth offensive lineman and maybe their fifth offensive lineman, depending on the health
Could
of Morgan
Moses. Like, for all we know. I mean, he looked like he knew what he was doing last night, but it's just...
Yeah,
this is how wild this season is getting. And by the way, you wanted more Ramondre carries. When your quarterback is just chucking 50-yard dimes for 6 points, that's eight Ramondre carries you don't need.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm also to the point, last night is different. Last night, win the football game. But over the next 2 weeks, I not only want to win the football game, I want to hit the postseason sort of hitting on all cylinders, getting whatever I think I need ready. Not that you're that good. Like, you still need to win these games because I think you're pursuing the division title and the number one seed. But, you know, don't go all Bill Belichick in Miami and just try to prove a point at the cost of a game. But also, don't be afraid to do things that you think is laying the foundation for the postseason. And I think you're going to need Ramondre in the postseason. You can't just rely on Drake to throw it. I don't think you want Drake throwing the ball 45 times against the Texans or the Broncos.
No, nor can you just rely on Travion as well, because obviously he's a touch more injury prone. Well, actually, each of them have gotten dinged up this year as well. The modern NFL has shown you really need two good feature backs at any given time because of just what monsters they're going up against. One of them could go down just like that.
Absolutely. So those are the injuries. They are piling up, and I don't think any one of them is a fatal flaw. You've kind of gotten through the Milton Williams injury here with one ugly loss to the Bills. You've kind of gotten through the Will Campbell injury with the one ugly loss to the Bills. It's not like the wheel. I mean, you can argue you lost your best offensive and defensive linemen and the wheels haven't fallen off. So that's You've made it through. You're just about to come out the other side, hopefully, with those guys. And when they're back, you should be a better football team.
You have one loss during the time where you lost your starting left tackle and your best defensive lineman. You managed to stem the bleeding to the point where you only have one loss. And in that game, you had a 17-point lead.
Speaking of stemming the bleeding, Fitzy, I can only do so much to carry you guys with the pick six parlay. I'm on a hot streak. I continue to win, pile up victories late in the year, but I can't say that for everyone. It's time now, time next, for the update on the pick six parlay. Spoiler, it was not the week. We did not win you your money to buy your Christmas gifts, but there were some good victories and some ugly losses. That's next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Merry Christmas, you filthy Foxborough Fanimals. How you like that? Drake May's first ever fourth quarter comeback win. But Drake May, the offense, never lost focus. The defense, they were hurting. The offense did their job, came up huge in the end. Patriots win, punching their tickets to the playoffs. Merry Christmas and happy holiday action for all. Go Pats.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons.
Music, please.
Stiz been hitting the eggnog a little early. Brought some for the boys, but I didn't know they were already passing it around behind the glass in there.
He snuck in the fridge.
Jiminy Christmas. Damn space bar gets you every time.
Oh,
you gotta get
man.
That space bar fixed. Just get a new keyboard. Fitzy, was that like a Chevy Chase ad-libbed rant about the Patriots right there?
That's
you
filthy animals? Before each and every Six Rings post-game show, I run in my garage, turn on the lights, fire up the old Instagram machine, rip a quick one-minute post-game recap, then run back in, only to find out that we're just about ready to go live on the post-game
story.
Show. Well, you ask a question, you got to give me a time to respond, you jerks.
All right, it is...
I'll kill all of you.
Time now for the pick six recap. I won. I don't care about the rest of you. Tell me what happened.
A pick six!
He's picked! Touchdown on a pick six.
Jones with the pick six.
And he flips the game!
Let's go!
Nothing like celebrating the holiday season by telling your coworkers you'll kill all of them. It's the Pick Six recap here on WEEI Afternoons, and we'll kill you too. Yeah, Andy Hart, a winner once again, ignoring the fact that he lost last week. Andy is a winner once again. He had the Bengals at -4.5. They win big time against Miami, 45-21 your final. Joe Burrow becomes the fifth player in NFL history to record 20,000 passing yards in their first 75 career games. Now, it took him 25 years to do it.
Oh, come on.
Too bad it's going to be his only 75 games.
And,
Cheap shot.
That's probably, Andy, going to be the first line that they open with in trade negotiations this offseason, because that stat is going to look great on a different team after this year. But congratulations, you won your bet this week.
I was going to say, this was an interesting game because it was a team with a franchise quarterback they don't want anymore, and then a franchise quarterback who doesn't want his team anymore in Joe Burrow and Tua. In case you missed it, all reports are Tua's done in Miami. He is going to be released by the Dolphins. They'll eat $90 million in dead cap hit.
They're going to eat a Russell Wilson-sized bag on that one?
As Schefter told us, largest ever. And then the other news out of Miami, if you believe this, because we thought he was done in like week three, they're keeping Mike McDaniel. They're going to move on from Tua and keep Mike McDaniel for at least one more year.
You're kidding. The same guy that was like, yeah, it was just, I was on the phone with him. I was telling him how I could fix, you know, like, we're going to be guys. We were watching MacGruber together on the phone. Tua stinks. Sorry. Like, I mean, he might be a nice enough person, but he's just not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, especially when you have to play games in the Northeast. He's Ofer. He's literally O-and in all those cold weather games. Not going to get it done.
So I guess the spin zone on the McDaniel side of this, Andy, is if you fire the coach and you're in the hiring process, and what is a relatively weak hiring class to begin with, knowing that you have a $90 million cap dead cap hit that you're going to have to deal with, you're going to be historically bad, top of the draft for the next couple of years. Would you take Mike McDaniel over the field knowing you're not going to compete to begin with?
Well, I think if I'm following you correctly, I think you're basically saying we're already paying him. We'll let him have the ML Carr year. ML Carr did it with the Celtics. He was supposed to get the number one pick, have the worst record. Then they're going to hire Rick Pitino. He'll take the draft pick. He'll have Tim Duncan.
It's kind of my thought.
We'll start the next era. And it's not a terrible thought. He's under contract. You're already paying him.
And who are you going to entice down to Miami with their current state of their roster?
And why do you want him there to have a bad year with no quarterback that's a bridge year? Let him eat it. Eat whatever crap comes their way next year.
Yeah.
And then start over the year after.
Who starts terrible. Next year? Like, let's just, like, quick rampant speculation of all potential free agents, cast-offs, whatnot. Is Jacoby Brissett the starter next year in Miami? Is he make a return trip there?
Wilson, Quinn Ewers, those are the two in-house options.
It'll be somebody else. No, Mike McDaniel, he'll fish around for someone else somewhere.
I don't know if I want to win, though. What if that person is decent? What if you bring in a guy that has a little Sam Darnold story and suddenly our thoughts of picking number one overall and taking the Sellers kid who's apparently going back to South Carolina for one more year or one of those. If you're an Arch Manning person, I'm not personally, but maybe he's a guy next year. Like, I don't know. Do you want to win? Do you want to sign? Brissett would be a good one because I don't think you're going to win a ton of football games with Jacoby Brissett.
Nope.
No, that's the ultimate stopgap. You could sell yourself on hope for somebody, or you can just get a guy who you know is only there for a very set amount of time.
Yeah, it's a plug that has a hole in it.
Yeah, Brissett, Mitch Trubisky, Tyrod Taylor, like that kind of ilk of quarterback where you know they come and go. Okay, Andy wins. Congratulations to him.
Woo-hoo!
Fitzy also wins, going with the Woo-hoo! Eagles once again. 6.5-point favorites over the Commanders. They win 29-18. The Eagles are the first back-to-back NFC champs in 21 years. The 2025 Eagles have clinched another 10-plus win season, which is now their fourth straight season doing that. Their first since 2000 to 2004. Fitzy, another win for you in the parlay.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't pretty. It was kind of like one of those garbage plates they eat up in Rochester, the Buffalo area, just full of a little bit of everything, but it got the job done. And I got to say, this Eagles team, that felt like the easiest pick on the board because the Commanders are donezo for the year. This Eagles team might be the most miserable consecutive double-digit win team in NFL history.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling. The defending Super Bowl champs are doing things that haven't been done in decades in their division. They're winning games, double-digit games. And no one has any faith in them. They don't seem to like each other. They took down the inflatable rabbit in their locker room that was supposed to be the hope and love rabbit or whatever the hell it was. They are a very weird team. That said, they're talented. If they get hot, they could win the Super Bowl. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. If they get hot and on the same page and just bury the hatchets in each other's backs, they could win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so we're getting Drake May imminently, so recap of the rest of the results. Ted Johnson had Lions -7 over the Steelers. That did not cover. I had Bills -10.5 over Cleveland. That did not cover. Stiz had Chargers +2.5 to beat the Cowboys. That one won by a landslide, 34-17. And Brian Frazoco had our first push of the season. Vikings 16-13 over the Giants. That pushes the -3 number. So we went 3-2-1 on the week. Ted Johnson 11-5. Fitzy at 9-7, Brian at 8-7-1, Dan and Stiz 7-9, Andy 6-10, and that is our Pick 6 parlay.
All right, let's go right to the guest line and not make Drake May wait. Drake May on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Windward Mental Health. Start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. May, how are we doing this week?
How are we doing? You doing all right?
We're doing great. We watched one hell of a football game last night, riding the ups and downs that you rode on the field. You know, there's a lot of outside noise about you guys needing to bounce back and show your resiliency, and maybe you needed to have your mettle tested with a fourth quarter comeback. How did that comeback feel from your perspective?
Yeah, I think we're just trying to do whatever we needed to do to come out with the win. That was the mindset for us. You know, whatever it took, whoever it took, we had guys stepping up in positions and people going out of the game and playing new spots and playing, you know, more than usually have, and just stepping up and do whatever it took. I think that's the biggest thing from take away from that game. Just proud of the guys for the way they competed and had belief and didn't lose sight of, you know, winning that game the whole time.
Yeah, your guys kept their eyes on the prize as well, and a lot of people were fighting through injuries, coming in and out. Yourself as well, we saw on national TV that you took a couple of pretty good pops and shots as well. Are you feeling a little extra sore today? And I imagine if so, it was totally worth it.
Hey, it's always worth it. Now I'm feeling pretty good. I actually feel pretty good. So just know we got to get another one this week, get back and get ready for it. And, you know, great week with Christmas coming up, and just looking forward to getting back at it. And, you know, two division opponents to finish off the season with, so we got to, you know, play some good football and, you know, get these last two.
We had a lot of discussion last week after the loss to the Bills. Even Coach Vrabel said, we'll see, you know, if they needed it, if they put it to good use, if they learned from it. What did you see last week as the team tried to bounce back during the week on the practice field, which ultimately led to a victory on the game field?
Yeah, I think it was a learning experience. A learning experience just for us when playing from ahead. And, you know, that wasn't the case last night, playing from behind. So just different scenarios and different situations that you face, you know, throughout the week. And, you know, each and every week in the NFL, you're going to be up sometimes. You got to hold the lead. You're going to be down sometimes and make a comeback. And just proud of the team for handling it and showing up to practice and knowing that it took a great week of practice to get that done. And like I said, just belief in each other. I don't think we never lost sight of that. And, you know, we have a lot of fun playing out there with each other, and it's fun times in the huddle.
You know, Drake, I'm sure this is probably something best left for the talking heads, the analysts, and the sports radio guys. But, you know, prior to last night, I don't think you'd had in your time in the NFL a signature come from behind fourth quarter win. You're down 11 with just over 12 minutes, two big touchdown drives, and you guys get that win. How nice is that to add to your resume, to know that, like, you can be on the road in a hostile environment, get the boys together, and come from behind for a huge win like that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to do my part to help the team win. You know, I think all the statistics and you know, all that is what it is. Just trying to, you know, whether we're down or we're up, hopefully we're up, just trying to come out with the win. And whether it's, you know, take the comeback or take the game-winning drive or not, just try to do whatever I can to put the team in the best position to, you know, come out with the win.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. You seem to really enjoy that touchdown pass to Hunter Henry when you were rolling right and then just sort of flicked it and then turned and kind of acted like an airplane with your fingers out. I don't know if you've seen the famous photo. Definitely had some Dwayne Wade to LeBron James for the dunk vibes to it. Where'd that celebration come from? Because we don't always see you celebrate like that.
Yeah, it was probably a little far out of the ordinary, but, you know, I trusted Hunter to make a nice catch, and he did just that. So it was a, you know, great play design, and one of those ones that, you know, kind of just had two options on the defender, whether to make him take me or take Hunter, and he took me, so had the easy play.
You know, it's pretty impressive how Steph Diggs really comes alive in the biggest games and in the biggest moments for you. He's a real primetime player. Had 9 catches in that big win at Buffalo, 9 catches for $138 last night. What would you say he has helped you unlock or helped you develop in this pivotal and impressive second season for you in the NFL, Drake?
I think just trust in the guys around me. He always says, just trust me, and I trust him on the fourth down. He made a great play, a great catch, and he just keeps on showing up. And, you know, sometimes it may not be as many targets or catches each and every week, but his attitude and the way he approaches it and the competitiveness in him is really cool to see, and it's contagious for us and the rest of the locker room.
Devin McCourty, who you spoke with for the Football Night in America pregame show, made a comment that while he was talking to you, you had told him something about in training camp and practice, Josh had said something in your helmet like, you know, the nickel is coming. There's a guy blitzing. How long did it take you to sort of get used to stuff like that, maybe start to trust Josh that he is right, that the nickel is coming, and how much of the success has been a part of that process of trusting what he says in your ear?
Yeah, I learned very quickly to trust, you know, Coach McDaniels and what he sees, because he's got a great feel for the game, a great feel for this offense, and a great feel for what these defenses like to do. So he's as smart as they get, and he's got great feel and ability to coach the quarterback at a high level. So just trying to, you know, soak it all in and ask him any questions and listen to him, you know, whatever I can, because usually he's got something that'll help me play better, and that's the goal.
Looks like you and rookie receiver Kyle Williams are developing a nice little bit of chemistry here, a great deep ball connection. He's got 7 catches on the season, but 3 of them are for touchdowns and 2 really impressive long passes. Can you talk about how that chemistry and that comfort with each other has evolved so quickly, Drake?
Yeah, I think it's still got a good place to go. I think we got a lot of improvement getting him some more touches. He's explosive with the ball in his hands, you saw in Tampa, and he's a big deep threat down the field. So just got to try to get him the ball more in open space, because he can make guys miss, run past guys, and he's doing a great job of, you know, being around the older guys, the older vets, and just trying to learn the system, learn the offense, learn how I how I like, you know, him to run routes and how he's got a bright future.
How do you personally move on or not worry too much about a non-call? You know, the whole world sees Kayshon Booty get tackled on that deep ball you threw. And even Mike Tirico on the broadcast is like, where's the flag? That's pass interference. How do you, in the heat of the action, not get mad, not spend time thinking about that, sort of move on to the next play?
Yeah, early on, you know, at my, you know, young stages in my career, I'm trying to, you know, kind of get to know the refs, try to, you know, kind of get to know them well, and hopefully try to, you know, create a good relationship with them and be nice. But I think there's comes a time down the road I can see myself kind of switching the switch and flipping the page to a little darker side with some refs. But, you know, they hadn't showed up yet. It was pretty close last night. But I just try to move on to the next play because there's nothing we can do about it after it happens. Just try to move on. But I definitely think, you know, down the road I can be not more of, you know, getting, you know, hostile with the refs, but just, you know, wanting them to do their job at a high level, just like we're trying to do.
Yeah, well, obviously, Pats fans, I can tell you from home, we're none too happy with the calls or lack thereof at times. But the fans were out in full force to support you on the road, as they have been all season long. You were talking in your post-game presser about how you could hear them everywhere, whether you're in the huddle, you're sitting on the bench. What is that? How much did that extra level of support and that Patriot fan action last night, how did that support you guys? How did that help propel you guys to win? What did that mean to you?
Oh, it's huge. You know, Coach McDaniels talks about it all the time, you know, how the Patriots fans at a opponent's stadium, they travel well, and it feels like a, you know, home game when we make, you know, big plays and score touchdowns. It's a loud cheer, and it feels pretty cool. I think that's the biggest thing. It gives you extra motivation to play, you know, to play well and practice. And you know, the fans, you know, run, you know, make this league go, and I think that's one of the, you know, coolest things about, you know, this sport is how, you know, involved and impactful these fans are in the stands and making, creating a home environment and creating a hostile. And little kids yesterday yelling at me in Baltimore that they probably think they shouldn't say in front of their parents, and it's just funny, and it's pretty cool.
That's Baltimore for you.
That's awesome. So you guys talked about Coach Vrabel telling you to pack your identity and bring it on the road with you, which you guys clearly have done a good job, undefeated on the road after the comeback victory. But if I asked you, with two games to play as you head towards the end of the regular season into the postseason, what is the identity of the 2025 New England Patriots?
Yeah, I think what we're trying to build is a team that plays four quarters, that plays, you know, with effort, with great finish, with, you know, smart decisions, smart choices, you know, not being, you know, heavily penalized after the whistle, not doing, you know, stupid things to hurt the team, and a team that's going to, you know, play with each other and, you know, trust each other and believe the entire game that we're going to come out with the win. And from there, just a team that plays fundamental football, that does things the right way, and, you know, good in clock management situations, you know, good in the games, and a team that, you know, gives, you know, our fans something to cheer for, and that's what we're trying to, you know, accomplish, and I think we've done that so far. We got to keep it going.
Interesting week to prepare for your second to last game. Obviously, like you said, two division opponents ahead of you. Win those out, you got the AFC East. You guys are already a playoff team, which is awesome. How will prep go this week with a holiday, such a big holiday, right smack in the middle of the week, and then travel road game against, you know, a desperate division opponent like the Jets on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll definitely get to work in. We'll get to work in and know, you know, the reasons for the season, and that's, you know, the, you know, celebration of the biggest birthday of all, and you know, one of the cool things for, you know, what kind of football has brought about in the holiday season, and it's, yeah, the reason for the season, and that's, you know, Jesus, and, you know, what a holiday to celebrate and be around football, and football only makes, you know, the holidays, you know, more enjoyable. So it's going to be, you know, cool. We'll definitely get to work in and definitely spend time with the family, but you also get reminded of the sport we play and how, you know, blessing and they'll take for granted, because, you know, the real reason for the season is bigger than football.
Along those lines, you often cite your faith in your post-game press conferences. What role does your faith play in your life and your life as a professional athlete? Had you ever been hesitant to share that in your press conferences? What is that like?
No, I really haven't. I think the biggest thing is using my platform to, you know, spread the word and spread the good news. And that's one of the biggest things that I've, try to work on in my career, use my platform to inspire, inspire young kids or inspire even older people that may not be into their faith as much, and just to know that it's out there for everybody, and it's one of the biggest things in my life that I've learned is there's purpose and there's passion, and my passion is football. My purpose is a believer and being strong in my faith.
So 'tis the season. I'm curious if you're going to be doing some gift giving on the team as well, and got any idea what kind of like awesome offensive lineman gifts you're going to get? Is it going to be like ATVs or swords, video games? What?
Yeah, we'll definitely give them something. So, can never spoil it. But those guys done a great job this year, and guys, all across the team have done a great job.
All right, it's time for your favorite part of the interview, May or May Not.
May or may not.
It's time for a weekly peek.
May or may not.
Inside the likes, loves, mind, and style of New England's quarterback.
May or may not.
May not.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, Drake, I don't have any idea where I got the idea for this question, but taking your shirt off and chugging a beer at a Celtics game, may or may not?
I'm a fan. I think Big Will doing it was awesome. I think that's kind of our Southern little way of Southern charm. So I think it was pretty cool, and it was cool for Will to do that as a rookie. And I'm sure a lot of the vets were wanting him to do it, and cool for the way he kind of showed emotion and kind of didn't. Didn't kind of, half in, half out, and just went full on and did the thing.
Is that only a big lineman thing? Or would a franchise quarterback ever do that?
I guess we'll leave that up to speculation. I guess we'll see.
Always something to look forward to. I imagine growing up, Drake, you enjoyed a couple of meals at some of the local favorites, getting them covered and smothered. Waffle House over Cracker Barrel, may or may not.
Waffle House over Cracker Barrel? Ooh, that's two places down south that I like. I'll take Waffle House. I think that's kind of more my style. A good Waffle House is hard to beat.
All right, this time of year between Thanksgiving, Christmas, family get-togethers, kids home from college, a lot of families get together and play games. Family game night, may or may not.
Oh, we're big family game night people. We love playing all the board games, card games. I love playing cards, and I love competing with my family, my brothers, and my wife.
Is it all amicable, or does it get ugly at times?
I wouldn't say it's very friendly. I think we're trying to win, and we're talking crap. And anytime that you play spades or Catan or whatever you want to play, we're trying to win, and that's the goal.
Flip 7 is the new card game that's a hit in our house, just to put that one on your radar.
Flip 7, I don't know if I've heard that.
It's a combination of Uno and Blackjack. It's awesome. You can get it on Amazon.
I like Blackjack.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, so we have a producer on our show who loves using AI, and he has an AI companion at home that he talks to all the time and asks it for advice. So using AI to help you learn things or keep you company, may or may not.
Keep you company, may not. To learn things and research, I think I'll do that. I don't know about keeping me company. That sounds a little bit weird.
Yeah, it is. And that he named it Chip is even weirder, but we don't need to go down that road. He has a name for his AI friend. Ham for Christmas dinner, may or may not.
Yeah, a little honey-baked ham. I'm a fan. We had a little bit of honey-baked ham for Thanksgiving, and I love some ham for the Christmas season.
I married into a family of professional singers, so I get dragged out doing this every year, Drake. Going Christmas caroling in the neighborhood, may or may not.
May not. I didn't. I think it's pretty cool. I'm not sure. Around the neighborhood, is that a thing up here? Yeah?
Yeah. Go door to door, and people think you're
down
crazy.
South. Yeah, down south. I don't know if families go out and do it, but that's pretty cool. No, we don't. I've never participated in that, but I'm not sure people want to hear me and my brothers. So,
yeah, we'll sing for snacks or cookies. So,
All right, time now for the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, with experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This question comes from Nicole in Newport, who clearly is a loyal listener, said, Drake, you said you don't take criticism from a person you wouldn't take advice from, or vice versa, but how do you ignore all the praise and positive outside noise and stay focused on the job at hand when there's these MVP chants and such?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, I got, you know, my brothers, you know, keeping me humble, got my wife and my parents and, you know, coaches and Coach Vrabel that are, you know, keeping me level and knowing that it's any given week in this league, you got to play and bring it every week. So I think it's, you know, keep a tight circle and people that I trust and trust their opinion, but at the same time know that, you know, every week is a big week and they can praise you one week and the next week they're doubting you. So that's how it is, and that's how it is in this league, is playing in my position with media and all these different, you know, sources and outlets. So just trust in what I do and, you know, continue to practice every week and just care about, like I said, what people care about, you know, about me inside the facility and the organization.
All right, Drake, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on the comeback, the big win. Good luck against the Jets. But more importantly, thanks for joining us every week. It's the holiday season. We appreciate that. Have a Merry Christmas. Hope Santa's good to you and hope you are good to the offensive linemen.
There you go. Thank you, guys. Go Pats.
That is Patriots quarterback Drake May with the Go Pats. We're not going to stumble there anymore. We had that one-off week where he didn't say Go Pats and they lost. But Drake May here on a WEEI Afternoons Patriots Monday. Up next, we'll break down some of those very interesting and enlightening answers, and we'll bring the drive to you here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.